Good morning. Ian, do I have sound? It sounds like I have sound. Awesome. We were having sound trouble this morning. Sounds like it's working, so that's great. My name is Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I am one of the pastors here at West End United Methodist Church, and I want to welcome you here today, whether you are joining us in person or joining us online. It is good to have you with us. If you would this morning, please remember to let us know that you are in attendance with us. So you can do that several ways. If you're in the sanctuary, there are attendance pads in the pews, and you may mark your attendance there. If you're online, there is an online form, and you should be seeing the information now on the screen as to how you can fill out that form and let us know you are with us. And also, a QR code in your bulletins, and so anyone anywhere can scan that QR code and find a link to an online attendance page if that works for you. Now, even though our sound has been having trouble getting started today, alive and well, and the church is going full force. So I have a few announcements here as things have picked back up in our community, and that's such a wonderful thing. First of all, I just want to remind everybody we have our summer Sunday mornings up at the Four-Story Theater this morning with Dr. Matt Charlton, who will lead us in the second in a series of lessons on theologies of hope. So I hope you'll join us there, and you can also watch on our live stream platforms. And that will come on after the service if you're trying to watch on live stream. So it might be a little delayed, but it'll be there. We're also going to be missing that would normally be worshiping with us today. Some of our youth are on their way right now to Virginia to hike the Wilderness Trail. And so our prayers go with them as they go to spend time in nature and together as they grow closer to one another and to God. And then also, we have some members of our church today who are going to be worshiping at C. Hubbard United Methodist Church, which is a traditionally African-American congregation here in Nashville. And West End and C. Hubbard are in discussions about how our churches can become more closely connected and begin doing ministry together. And so we pray for all who worship at C. Hubbard this day and for the fruitful connections that we hope will spring up between our two congregations. And while we're talking about celebrations and our connection with C. Hubbard, we also want to invite all West End members to join us on Saturday, June 19th, for Juneteenth celebrations. Juneteenth is a long-standing holiday in the African-American community to commemorate the emancipation of those who were enslaved in the United States. And we've been invited by Pastor Reverend Keith Caldwell to join them there, and he will be speaking at those celebrations. And so the Juneteenth festival will be at Hadley Park at noon that Saturday, next Saturday. Sticking with that theme of celebration even more, it is officially Pride Month, a time when people around the globe acknowledge and affirm LGBTQ persons, our LGBTQ plus siblings. And because of the pandemic, the Nashville Pride Fest has been moved to September. But because it's Pride Month, we thought it was appropriate to recognize that around our church as well. So we've got a few things going on, including you'll see some Pride flags around our campus on the back half of June. And then also there's going to be a gathering hosted by our LGBTQ plus members. But that gathering is not just for LGBTQ plus persons. It is for all of us to come and celebrate. And so you are invited to that celebration. And I think it's going to be hosted at Marty Gentry and Brent Clark's house. Is that right, guys? All right, great. So we're living into that celebration as well. And then two more things. Can you believe it? Two more things. District 21 Councilman Brandon Taylor is coming to talk to our church in a few weeks to help us learn how we can be part of, be in ministry with our neighbors in the 37208 zip code. And they are part of our district, and he serves us as well as them, because our church falls in District 21. And so on June 29th at 6:30, he's going to do a presentation in the Four-Story Theater that will also be live streamed just for us to come and hear what it is that the 37208 community is asking for and how we might come alongside them in ministry. That's a lot of announcements. And there's a lot more going on in the church, too. So I hope that you will check out our e-news that comes out each Friday. And if you don't receive that, just contact us at the church, and we'll make sure you get that information. And now, let us go to worship our God, who comes to be present with us and comes to shine God's light in the world around us.
May we, like Moses, reflect the brilliance of God to all whom we meet.
Lord, we have come here to give our lives to you.
When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So then, let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience God's Spirit at work in our midst. Holy God, we catch glimpses of your splendor and glory in this world, and yet we fail to acknowledge your image in our neighbors. We have not loved you with our whole selves. We have kept parts of our lives for ourselves, held back from your transforming work. We stray from the paths that you would have us follow. We close our minds and hearts to your instructions. Forgive us, God, for turning our backs to you. Have mercy on us for wounding others with our words and actions and inactions. Show us your majesty again, Lord, that we might shine your love throughout the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And for those of you worshiping with us online, you can do that via the chat or text message, those in person, in whatever way feels most comfortable to you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, chapter 34 of Exodus, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone, because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. And Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of the face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of God for the people of God.
preach from up here because they said my mic was not working well, but I live here and there is no mic here. Ian, is there a mic on the pulpit? Okay, well, I'm going to just come down here then and do what I was planning on doing. And if my mic cuts out,
people online will just have to bear with it. All right. Sometimes you just have those days, don't you? You know what that's like? It is so good to be here, though, and I want to invite all the children to give me their attention for a few minutes. So if you're in the sanctuary, if you want to look this way, I'm going to be talking right to you for a few minutes. That's right, I see. Yep, right there. And then also those that are at home, if you want to move closer to the screen, you can do that. I don't know if you were listening closely just then, but we heard this story about Moses coming down the mountain and his face was shining brightly. In fact, his face was shining so brightly with the presence of God that he had to start doing this a lot. Now, this is going to look really weird. All right. He had to start going around and covering his face in a veil because it was so bright, this presence of God emanating off of him, that people couldn't even stand to be too close to him. So he'd cover his face at times. And then when he'd go to talk to God, he would reveal his face. And sometimes the people would catch a glimpse of his face, but then he'd have to cover it again if they got too close. Now, I always thought this was a really strange story. And I always really couldn't imagine it until this year. And this year, we've all been covering our faces for an entire year, haven't we? We've been covering up that part of ourselves that often is the part that shines with the presence of God. Our bodies are created as part of God's wonderful creation. And children here today and children out there that are still having to wear masks, I want to remind you that whenever you take that mask off and you see that face in the mirror, or you're able to smile at someone, or you're able to say hello to someone and let them see who you are, that God has made you a special person, and you are a special gift to God, and you can be a special gift to the people that get to see your shining face. So I hope there comes a time soon where all of us are able to show our shining faces all the time. And remember, though, that even Moses had to wear a veil sometimes, right? So let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you are indeed with us, and that you can be so present with us that you can turn our very beings into conduits for your love. Lord, I pray for our children today. May they know that they are specially created as God's special children, and that the smiles on their faces shine God's love to everyone who knows them. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. So I want you to picture it, if you can. Picture Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, and he's coming down, down, down the edge of the mountain. And there at the bottom are the Hebrew people, and they're waiting expectantly to hear from Moses. And they're also waiting a little nervously. Because if you don't remember, this is actually Moses' second trip down the mountain. Moses has already made this trip once before, carrying tablets and coming into the midst of the people waiting for him. But last time, he found out that they were a little impatient. They had gotten a little tired of waiting on Moses and also on God to do God's next thing. And so they had made idols and they had started doing things that made both Moses and God fairly unhappy. And Moses actually broke the tablets that God wrote in God's own hand. So Moses had to go back up the mountain and visit with God for another period of time. And this time Moses wrote out the things that God said to him. So this time, as he comes descending down the mountain, the people are nervous because they don't know if God wants to have anything to do with them anymore. They don't know if they are worthy to be a part of God's promises and plans for them. And so Moses comes again with a set of tablets that are going to be part of the instructions and covenant that are going to help them learn how to live together. But more importantly, Moses comes down the mountain with a shining face. A face that shone so brightly that it actually frightened them. They weren't sure what this meant. And as Moses came down into their presence and approached them, they tried to back away, even his brother Aaron. And Moses said, "No, no, no, come closer. Come closer, because guess what? God still loves me. God still loves you. And God still has an amazing plan for us to live in more fruitful and free and just ways with one another. And let me tell you about it." So here Moses literally becomes this lightning rod for God. He connects the heavenly and the earthly, the divine and the human. I love the picture on your bulletin today. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it before the service. I reached out to an artist who lives in Israel who does religious paintings. I found this piece of art online and I just loved it. His name is Darius Gilmont, and he was happy for us to use his painting. But I love the way he shows the shining as this emanation of bright and wondrous colors. And it's almost as if Moses is blended in to everything. He's a part of the heavens, a part of the earth. He's become this special, special messenger of God. But you know, it wasn't always destined to be that way, or at least you wouldn't have guessed it from the way Moses started. I don't know if you remember Moses' story, but Moses began life as a Hebrew baby boy at a time when the Pharaoh of Egypt was nervous that the Hebrew people were becoming too numerous and they were going to be a threat to his power. And so he ordered for all the Hebrew baby boys to be killed. Moses' mother, fearing for his life, put him into a basket and placed him in the reeds by the Nile River. And there, by chance, or we might say by divine providence, Moses was discovered. But he wasn't discovered by just anyone. He was discovered by the daughter of the Pharaoh. And so Moses gets to go live in the Pharaoh's court and gets raised as one of the Pharaoh's daughter's sons. Moses ended up being a person with conflicted identities. He was a Hebrew person by birth, and yet also he grew up in the courts of the Pharaoh. And these conflicted identities came into contact in a really important moment in Moses' life when he sees a Hebrew slave being badly treated by an Egyptian overseer. And Moses, in a fit of anger and rage, actually kills that Egyptian. And then Moses has to flee because he doesn't know now what the Hebrew people think of him. He also doesn't know what the Egyptians think of him. He knows what Pharaoh thinks of him. Pharaoh wants him killed now. So he flees for his life and he goes into Midian. But it's there in Midian, when Moses has absolutely no clue who he is anymore, that God says, "Moses, I'm here." He appears to Moses, or God appears to Moses and says, "I'm here, and I'm calling you to realize who you are. You're not just a Hebrew person. You're not just someone that was raised in the courts of Egypt. You are someone with a special identity, and you are going to do something special for the people called the Hebrews." And so Moses said, "I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I'm the right person. I don't have the tools," all of that. But to Moses' credit, Moses continued to lean in to the presence of God. And each step of the way, as Moses leaned into the presence of God, Moses discovered more things about himself. I imagine that he discovered things about himself that he thought were true that were not anymore. He discovered what God was calling him to do in this mission of liberation and freedom for the Hebrew people. And as he grew closer to God, he was able to follow God's path. And so he did end up freeing his people, and his people left Egypt, and now they've been wandering, and they're here at the foot of the mountain. But now, where Moses was once very conflicted about his identity and who he was, now the whole Israelite community is conflicted about who it's supposed to be in this new time of wandering and learning about themselves. And it's a blessing that Moses brings the presence of God to them. And Moses can serve as this special conduit at this time. When I think about Moses' shining face, it reminds me of the people I know in my life who have walked in deep and abiding faith and have shared God with me. I bet you can think of some of those people that you have known in your own lives, people who were so in touch with who God created them to be that they literally radiated the presence of God in a way that then welcomed others into that presence as well. Father Richard Rohr, who studies and teaches about contemplative prayer and the contemplative journey, calls this the immortal diamond. He says there's something inside each and every one of us that is also a part of God, that is united to God. It's the part of us that was truly connected to God and seeks to be connected to God. He sometimes calls this the true self. And that doesn't mean a self like the ego as we think of, like selfishly looking for what I want and what I need. But it means living into who God has called you to be. And maybe accepting some of those things you've ignored about yourself, or maybe living into things that you were always afraid to. I have people come in my office sometimes trying to figure out where God is taking them in life. Sometimes it might have something to do with who they thought they were and who they might think they are now. Sometimes it has to do with what God might be calling them to do in terms of living out their faith. In some of the scariest moments, people that might be feeling a call to ordained ministry, and they wonder, is this really true or not? And as I talk to those people, I always try to find out a couple things. The first is this. Is what you think God is saying to you, does it scare you a little bit? Does it intimidate you like the shining face of Moses intimidated those people at the foot of the mountain? If it does, then maybe God is doing something special in your life. And then a second thing I try to figure out is whatever is going on in this person's life, if they step into this next part of this journey, is it going to help them love God and themselves and others even better? And I think if so, then God again is at work in them, refining that immortal diamond. I know I was taught that lesson by a good friend of mine. I can't help but think about it since it's Pride Month. A friend of mine who, as a younger man, he realized that he might be gay. And he was trying to figure out what to do about that. He had ideas about who he was and was going to be. And he also wondered how this would fit into his life as a Christian, among other things. And these identities, like Moses's, that came into conflict, seemed to come into conflict with one another. He had never heard that there could be fruitful conflict like that. But you know, I checked back in with him later, after he had come to terms with many things in his life. And he said, you know what? Going through that journey and realizing who God has created me to be has made me a better Christian, because now I'm able to love myself better. I can accept that God loves me and works in me and through me, and I can love others in the same way. I'll always remember that lesson that that conduit of God for me taught me. So today I want to suggest something. I want to suggest that each of you has an immortal diamond, a piece of you that is the peace of God, looking for God and looking to shine back out from you. And you don't have to be any particular kind of person to begin to grow closer to God and God's purposes in your life. Richard Rohr says that the true self is not the perfect self, but rather it is the one who lives out of the perfect God. I love that. So I stole a title from one of my favorite rock bands, Pink Floyd, for my sermon this week. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Well, instead, I want to suggest that each of us is an amazing diamond. And I want to invite you to lean in closer to God. Imagine where God might be leading you, how you might be a conduit of God's presence for others. And I want to encourage everyone, whether you're worshiping with us here or anywhere in the world, to shine on you amazing, amazing diamond. Thanks be to God.
Would you rise in body or in spirit and join me as we affirm our faith together, number 883 in our hymnals, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral prayer team to pray for those throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, sometimes we encounter you in mountaintop experiences, and we carry your radiance with us long afterward. Sometimes we meet you in the faces of others who reflect your love and help us to draw closer to you. And sometimes, O God, we meet you in quiet moments when we discover that the light of your love is within us. And through our own belovedness, we can shine your light to others. For all of the ways we can experience your love, your grace, and your power, O Christ, we give you thanks. We recognize, though, that there are times when all we can see are valleys, when we feel far from the warmth and glow of your love. So we remember this morning all who feel isolated, all who are lonely, all who are fearful, all who feel ashamed, all who feel bereft of love. We lift up to you those who are sick, those who are grieving, those who are seeking work, those who are struggling with addiction, those who are hungry, and those who suffer from violence or oppression. In silence now, O God, we name those persons or situations that are most heavy on our hearts this day. Jesus, we ask that you would be near to all who are in need this day. May each one find comfort and strength in your unconditional love, your boundless grace, and your abiding presence. May they know deep within themselves how very beautiful and beloved they are. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, may all of us shine your love so deeply and so widely in our work and in our play that others experience your love and grace through all that we say and do. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, your beloved Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before we continue with our offering, I realize that I forgot to announce a birth this morning, and I want to make sure that I do that. So this morning we celebrate that Elizabeth Scott Snyder, Scotty, was born on June the 4th to Andy and Elizabeth Snyder. She is welcomed by her big brother, Rich Snyder, grandparents Fabra and Sam Belk, and great-grandparents Jean and Richard Hart. And so we celebrate with that family this morning. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you here in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary and through the side doors where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, as well as our hearts, to our God who loves us unconditionally.
Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. That is the essence of what it is to unearth the immortal diamond. Heart of our own heart. So go and seek after God, the heart of your own heart. Allow God to speak into your life, and then shine God's light for all to see. Go in peace.